First, leaders from the Catholic Church are gathering this week for what's being called an unprecedented summit on clergy sexual abuse. Pope Francis called for the meeting last year as the crisis in the church has continued to worsen, including a new admission from Pope Francis about the sexual abuse of nuns and an accusation that he himself ignored abuse claims against the former Archbishop of Washington, D.C. Julie Zalzmer is a reporter who covers religion, faith, and spirituality for The Washington Post. Julie, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Can you give us some background on the origin of this, in effect, summit?
As you said, it's really the first of its kind, which is somewhat shocking when you think about it. The Boston Globe exposed sexual abuse in the Catholic Church back in 2002. And since then, this has become clear that this is not just an American problem, it's a global problem. There's been abuse scandals in Australia, in Chile, in Ireland, in numerous European countries. And it's taken until this point for the Vatican to convene the leading bishops from all over the world to get together and discuss what they should do about it.
What do we know about what they're planning to cover over the next few days?
They're specifically focusing on the abuse of minors, so they're not going to be taking up issues like you just raised about nuns being abused by priests, for example, or harassment of seminarians and young priests, which is most of what now ex-Cardinal McCarrick, who you mentioned, he was recently defrocked for harassment of both minors and adults. This is more narrowly focused, which is going to leave some people saying that they didn't address a lot of the issues.
And Pope Francis has said as recently as this month he wanted to deflate expectations for this meeting. What was his point there?
Right. It's not a great way to go in saying don't get your hopes up. It is obviously a big meeting that the Vatican is taking very seriously. It's pretty rare for the Pope to give two speeches in one meeting. He's going to open and close the meeting himself. They've gathered the presidents of every bishops' conference in the world, essentially. It's a big meeting, but what Pope Francis was saying in Deflate Your Expectations, he was saying we might not come out of this with the sort of concrete proposals that advocates want. This might not be a change in policy for the church. It might just be a chance to talk about the issue.
And you mentioned the internationalization of this problem, issues emerging in lots of countries. It seems like not that long ago that people within the church were talking about this as kind of an American problem. What's going on in the United States? That's no longer the case, it sounds like.
Yes, there's definitely been recognition that this problem exists in many other countries. However, I think that there is still tension between the way American bishops handle this problem and the way bishops the rest of the world over handle it. Back in November, the U.S. Catholic bishops had their major meeting of all of the bishops in the U.S., and they had planned to essentially devote the whole meeting to this issue, to sexual abuse. And they did have very concrete proposals written out that they were planning to vote on that were going to change the way they handled abuse and the way they handled bishops' accountability. And as that meeting opened, Pope Francis and the Vatican sent a letter to the U.S. bishop saying, don't do anything about sexual abuse. Don't take any action on your own. You need to be in harmony with the rest of the world. You need to wait for this February summit.
But waiting for this February summit now that it sounds like may not come up with concrete recommendations like the ones the U.S. bishops had come up with.
Right, which leaves open the question of what do the U.S. bishops do with these proposals that they had indeed drafted that, while controversial, had quite a bit of support in the U.S. church. One option is that they have another meeting in June and they might try again to enact their own proposals and to go farther than the rest of the world. Another option that has been raised is that some American leaders at this summit might ask permission from the Vatican to enact some proposals on their own. Hopefully, these proposals don't just disappear.
Talking to Julie Zalzmer, reporter covering religion for The Washington Post, looking at this big summit at the Vatican, looking at the issue of clergy sexual abuse. And Julie, beyond the abuse itself, of course, here in the United States, a big part of the story was how bishops, archbishops, cardinals handled these issues, covered them up, moved clergy around despite existing accusations of abuse. Are we seeing a similar pattern as these issues emerge in other countries?
Yes. I mean, I think that there is a difference from country to country. That you see a couple of countries, I think it's Costa Rica and Chile, where the bishops actually have designated other people to attend the summit on their behalf because they them.
We seem to have lost Julie Zalzmer, our connection with her. We'll try to get her back. In the meantime, you can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts on this big summit at the Vatican looking at the issue of clergy sexual abuse. This story started fairly early here, emerging here in Wisconsin, Milwaukee, and elsewhere. Is this something you've been following since then? Have you been affected by these issues? What questions do you have about this summit at the Vatican? You can call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You know, so email ideas@wpr.org. And it looks like we have Julie back with us. Julie, hi. Do we have you connected again?
Yes. Hooray. Sorry about that.
Great. No, that's okay. It might have been on our end. So what are there critics within the Catholic Church looking at this big summit and saying, we need to do more. We need to tackle this issue a little more head on.
Absolutely. I am sure you will hear that, especially if the bishops emerge from this summit, as they're starting to say they might, without new policies in place. There's going to be protesters surrounding St. Peter's Square while these bishops meet in private who are going to be demonstrating for all sorts of things. There's going to be representatives of nuns who are abused, of seminarians who are abused, of children who are abused. They're all going to be standing out there waiting and hoping for real action.
And on the other hand, I've been reading there are conservatives within the church who are saying they're worried about what they claim is a culture of homosexuality, too much permissiveness from Pope Francis. What are we hearing from that faction within the church?
Yes. Whenever you talk about abuse, you pretty quickly get into the question of why the Catholic Church and why this problem is so prevalent among Catholic churches, just as it is in so many other domains of life, but there's something particular to the Catholic Church, and whether you're liberal or conservative or somewhere in between, your answer usually differs on that. There are many conservatives who blame gay priests. There are others who blame celibacy. There are others who blame the hierarchy and the culture of bishops. Those big questions of whether to change church doctrine on sexuality, on celibacy, on any of the really big topics, those are probably not going to come up at this meeting.
That reminds me, you've written about abuse scandals that recently emerged with the Southern Baptist Church, a very different organization of churches, much less hierarchical, much more independent churches, and yet we see apparently widespread abuse scandals emerging there. What do we know about that?
Right. The Southern Baptists in some ways are very similar and in some ways are very different. You mentioned the lack of a hierarchy. That's a big deal for Southern Baptists, which on the one hand means that you don't have one bishop who's keeping all the paperwork in his office and moving clergy from one place to another. On the other hand, it means nobody's collecting paperwork. And if a priest or a pastor in this case is fired for sexual abuse, he can go to the next church and there's no database that says, oh, this one's a problem. There's also a real focus on gender in the Southern Baptist Convention and on the difference between men and women. And men are supposed to be in charge in the church, in the family. That's the teaching of Southern Baptists. So there are a lot of people who are questioning how that plays into culture of abuse. It's a different culture, but it's another culture that obviously has its problems.
Now, getting back to the Catholic Church, it seems like there may be some shifting attitudes toward Pope Francis. I think a lot of people were hoping when he became the Pope that he might be a breath of fresh air. He might tackle this abuse issue head on. Are people starting to rethink that now?
Yes. If you look at his polling numbers, and I know we don't normally think about approval polls for popes, but they take them just like they do for presidents. If you look at his polling numbers, right after the Pennsylvania grand jury report came out this summer, which really reignited the discussion about abuse in the Catholic Church, his numbers fell precipitously. People have been very disappointed in how he has handled this issue.
We're talking to Julie Zalzmer with the Washington Post, looking at this upcoming 4-day meeting at the Vatican on the church's sexual abuse crisis. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you watching these issues and how the church handles them? What do you want to see come out of this meeting? Are there tangible things you think the Vatican could be doing, should be doing to stop sexual abuse from happening in the church and to have more transparency when it does happen? If you are Catholic yourself, how has this scandal changed your relationship to the church? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up a conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we pick up our conversation on clergy sexual abuse in the Catholic Church ahead of this big summit on that topic this week, organized by the Vatican. Julie Zalzmer is with us from the Washington Post, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of how Pope Francis has handled this issue so far? What kind of action would you like to see taken when a priest is accused of abuse? Are you relieved that this meeting has been called? Do you worry it'll be mostly talk, not so much action from the Vatican? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. You can also tweet us at Central Time WPR. Julie, what have we heard from survivors groups? There are chapters here in Wisconsin and around the country, survivors of priest abuse groups. What are they saying about the latest from the church?
I think they've been waiting for this summit for months. It's hard to wait, hopefully, now that Pope Francis has essentially told them not to. One issue that survivors groups and others have raised is the makeup of who is participating in this summit. There's almost 200 church leaders who've been invited. Most of them are the presidents of bishops' conferences, so they're leading bishops. Out of almost 200, only 10 are women, who are women from religious orders. There's a serious gender imbalance here, and that has been concerning to some survivors.
Let's bring on a caller now. Chris is with us in St. Louis. Chris, hello.
Hi. I'm a survivor in St. Louis, Father Leroy Valentine at Immaculata. And I wanted to kind of just bring to your and y'all's attention the abuse of the abused. What happens to survivors when we try to get help? And then, and that brings up another problem that the USCCB was going to address in November, which is accountability for bishops, not just for the direct abuse that McCarrick did, but also, you know, the runaround, the gaslighting. I've had problems with Cardinal Dolan, Cardinal Burke, Cardinal Regali, and I don't see any accountability for that. And I was kind of hoping the Pope would address that issue after he killed the USCCB boat, but he didn't.
And Chris, can you talk about your feelings toward the church now? This is an institution that at one point in your life, I imagine, you trusted, you respected. How do you feel after, I guess, years of what's got to feel like betrayal?
Well, betrayal is exactly the word. I mean, I would still consider myself a Catholic in psychology because I believe in the connection between faith and deeds, you know, Mother Teresa and all that, but the hypocrisy is overwhelming.
Chris, thank you for calling and for sharing your story. And I imagine, Chris, Julie, not alone with that feeling of betrayal.
Not at all. And Chris raises a really important point about accountability for bishops. What the American bishops wanted to do is probably not going to be taken up worldwide. But there's even more basic measures of accountability. The American church back in the early 2000s had a meeting in Dallas where they instituted zero tolerance for a priest has one credible accusation, they're not a priest anymore. They're removed from ministry. And not every church in the world has that still in the Catholic Church. And that would be the kind of thing survivors groups would like to see and may well not see from this meeting.
Thanks a lot for that call. We'll go to Ryan in Boscobel now. Ryan, hi.
Hey, Ryan. Yep. How are you doing, buddy?
Good. What did you want to bring up?
Oh, I think the Pope's just kind of hiding by himself, and I just wish he'd just address everything, like, really up front and, you know, just address the issue, you know, everybody sees it, but him. I mean, I'm not sure. It's kind of scary, you know, and you know, everybody believes in him. So, you know, I think if he says something, you know, they might believe it.
Ryan, thanks for the call. Julie, do we have a sense of why maybe Pope Francis isn't tackling this as head-on as Ryan and others were hoping he might?
It's a great question, and we'll see what he says when he gets to make two major addresses in the next few days. Every so often, he says something very candid about this, and then there's other times where he has probably regretted what he said.
Thanks for the call, Ryan. We're talking to Julie Zalzmer, reporter who covers religion at the Washington Post, looking at this big conference at the Vatican, looking at clergy sexual abuse, cover-ups, and more. Julie, let's dig in. One of our callers mentioned, you mentioned the U.S. Effort to come up with new rules, overruled in effect by the Vatican. What were some of the things that they had hoped to do?
They were focused on bishops. On setting up accountability measures if a bishop does something wrong or a bishop oversees abuse, there aren't clear guidelines for how you handle that right now. So they were focused on putting in place lay councils that would have the ability to sanction bishops.
Let's go back to our callers now. Patty is with us in New Berlin. Patty, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Patty?
Well, I just wanted to bring up, I was raised Catholic from nursery school with the Franciscan sisters. Then I went on to Dominican sisters for grade school and high school and ended up with the Jesuits at the end. And the Catholic Church lost me when they canonized Pope John 23rd after he died after a few years, because he was obviously knew what was going on, and everyone forgot that he was doing the cover-up with everyone else, and they still canonize them. And to me, that's more of a mortal sin than anything I ever learned in school. So it's a big betrayal to me.
Patty, thanks a lot for the call. Julie, have we seen people, as Patty is confronting Pope Francis' predecessors and how they handled these issues?
Yes, so much of what has happened in the past year has not really been about current events. It's been about how bishops handled abuse years and years ago. Here in Washington, our Archbishop of Washington retired early after it came out that he had a very mixed record of handling abusive priests back in the 90s in Pittsburgh. And as we look at the church moving forward, there's an effort to say bishops, you know, shouldn't be named to new positions if they were a bishop at all before 2002, because just about everybody is tainted by this.
Thanks a lot for the call, Patty. Some of the most recent news here in the United States has been places like Pennsylvania, where you see prosecutors looking at lists of accused abusers. We're seeing people trying to come up with that kind of information in dioceses around Wisconsin as well. What's going on that front?
There are investigations inspired by Pennsylvania in more than a dozen states at this point. There are criminal investigations, there are civil investigations, and those take time, obviously, and they all just started this summer and fall, so it might be a while before we see results. But the Catholic Church is now a church under criminal investigation, which is a major step.
And there have been questions about how and whether the church hierarchy cooperates with secular law enforcement versus trying to deal with these issues internally. What's been the most, what's going on in the United States with that?
I think that probably was a large part of why the Vatican was uncomfortable with the U.S. bishops wanting to take action back in November. I think the U.S. bishops, by and large, are more comfortable working with civil authority than the Vatican and than bishops in other places in the world. The idea that bishops were going to relinquish some authority in some way to civil authorities, to lay people in their own churches, is something that does not sit well with all bishops.
We have another caller. Roger is with us in Milwaukee. Roger, hello.
Hi. I'm a married priest. I had 22 years in the priesthood, and I just say that as long as we continue, as long as the Catholic Church continues this hierarchy business and the bureaucracy, the problems will not go away with sexual abuse, because they'll always protect the clergy no matter what. And the lady's got to take charge and not be afraid. In the Middle Ages, they were afraid of the lady. That's why they they put the kibosh on anything that the lady had to say. And as far as the bishop's meeting, there's some nice people there. Francis is a nice guy. I shouldn't say guy, but a wonderful person. But he still believes in the hierarchy and all that crap, may I use that word. You know, so nothing's going to change. So I don't know what the Catholics are going to do, but I just think that it's a big scam that they think they're going to change something.
Roger, thanks for the call. Roger's saying nothing's going to happen until lay Catholics, I guess, rise up and confront the hierarchy. Thoughts, Julie?
I think it's a very tough question for a lot of lay Catholics who are distraught by this. Do you leave or do you try to change your church from inside? And can you really do that? That's a lot of people have to wrestle with that.
Roger, thanks a lot for the call. Julie, what kind of signals are you going to be watching for that first address from Pope Francis as this thing kicks off?
I think it will be very interesting to see if he talks about accountability of bishops or if he is focused simply on the sin of abuse and on priests who abuse and pinning the problem on the priests themselves. If he's talking to the bishops about their own accountability, that's a sign that this meeting is going to tackle more of the most current issues.
Julie, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Julie Zalzmer, the Washington Post reporter covering religion, faith, and spirituality. She was with us today to talk about what we can expect to come out of a 4-day summit on sexual abuse in the Catholic Church that starts this Thursday at the Vatican.